So our topic next is, and this is Dan Kennedy's comment about financial advisors, is they're all like that Weeds song, Little Houses, right? Little houses all in a row, ticky-tacky, all the same. And, you know, I stole from Tim Ferriss. You know, Tim Ferriss's great book, 4-Hour Workweek,
right,
is they had this vision of the old bald fat guy in the red BMW, and they didn't want to be the old bald fat guy in the red BMW. But, you know, we pull that, and, you know, our typical financial advisor is the guy sitting behind an oak desk in a JCPenney suit.
Right.
You know.
We don't want to look the same.
With maybe a bookshelf behind
him. Right.
And, you know, all the same. And Michael Kitches, you know, he said it's sad when, you know, your differentiator is people choose a financial advisor by zip code. And I thought it was a great line of his, is you want to be unique, you want to be different, and you want to pick a niche. And I know that's kind of trendy right now, but people miss the point, right? Is from a purely marketing person point of view, is I'm much better to decide that I'm going to do plastic surgeons, or I'm going to do Procter & Gamble employees, or I'm going to do Microsoft employees, or I'm going to do tech industry CEOs.
Sure.
You know, pick anything, right? I'm into Porsches, I'm going to do Porsche owners. But it's much easier to market if you choose clearly by occupation or by hobby a group of people that you want to target, and then you can build affinity with them, and you can, most importantly, is you can rifle shot your marketing, right? So you could build 6 different front-end marketing projects, one targeted at different niches.
Well, we talk to a lot of people, then we ask what they want to market, how they want to market, and they say they want to market to the whole world. We've talked about this a lot more in other segments, so we won't spend time on it today. But that's, again, the worst kind of idea you can have. But what we want to talk about is how you personally need to be different and not look like the guy in the JCPenney suit behind the desk, or even, it may not be your vision of yourself, but just because you have the letters behind your name and you're a certified financial planner or you have different criteria, it would be a lot like being an MD. There's lots of MDs, and a lot of people choose their doctors because it's who's on their insurance or who's the closest doctor, or maybe they get a referral. You don't want to be that generic. You want to be different enough so that you can market and get the kind of target client that you want to have.
Well, even using that example, is the more specialized somebody is and the rarer their skill set is, the more highly they compensate they are, right?
Yeah, that's always true.
So in part, I could specialize by what type of problem I solve, I could use it either way. I could specialize by I only work with people, or I primarily work with people in this particular profession, right? Or that work in this particular company, or, and it doesn't have to be only, but I can become the person that's the go-to, that's the specialist for that particular group, right? So if I lived in Seattle, it would be a natural to be the expert on Amazon's retirement plan and planning, or the expert on Microsoft's. Or, you know, I can go the other way and differentiate by like who I am. But there's all kinds of, in really probably both, right?
Yeah, and imagine you went to somebody who did financial planning and you wanted to get some help for yourself, and you were an Amazon executive or an Amazon employee, and they said, oh yeah, I specialize in working with Amazon retirement plans. You'd feel really comfortable. But imagine you went to somebody and they say, oh yeah, I can work with Amazon retirement plans. I work with all kinds of retirement plans.
I work with everybody.
You might feel okay about that, but that I'm going to feel less comfortable about that guy, even if he says, oh, I'm an expert in all of them. That doesn't make me feel as comfortable. Again, using the doctor example, if you say, well, I've got carpal tunnel, you know, problems. Oh, I'm a surgeon in all kinds of different things. I can work on your carpal tunnel surgery. I have back problems. I'm a surgeon in all kinds of things. I can work on your back. You'd never go to that surgeon. See, it doesn't make you feel comfortable. So the more, when we think about specialization and building authority and also building some uniqueness about yourself, those three things go together and it can make you very powerful and strong in building a much bigger market.
Yeah. Well, we have a mutual friend, David Phelps, and he does finances for doctors and specifically for dentists. And he has a very clear avatar dentist that he's targeting. And it's those who want to not have to show up and be behind the chair every day with a certain number of assets, right? And again, it's not suggesting that you should chase dentists. But if you become the person who specializes for that particular group of people, and even if it, use Dan Kennedy as an example again, one of his first big companies was they did practice management, and they did it for chiropractors and dentists. So they had a complete marketing plan to get chiropractors in the door. They had a complete marketing plan to get dentists in the door. One aimed at dentists, one aimed at chiropractors, and then they put them in a room, and there was doctors sitting next to chiropractors, and all of the content was the same, the presentation was the same, everything else was the same. They just said doctor. But they had completely separate marketing for each group in order to get them into the room, right? Because if I just said anybody in the medical profession, I'm going to have less impact than if I said chiropractor.
Right, and so to understand this, it may actually just be a marketing strategy. Yep. There may not be much difference in how you actually work with them from a device point of view, but there could be.
There could be,
especially like in the example of the dentists that want to be not in the chair or not, working in the office.
Well, my joke is we have five or six friends who all do different versions of that. My joke is there anybody really who's a dentist who wants to be a dentist?
Yeah, it sounds like they don't, right?
Well, one of them was selling a dental hygienist school to them. Another one was doing some other investment planning to get them out of, David is doing real estate with them. It's like,
and that would be one where you're actually doing something different for that group, but it may or may not be that. The first part of this, though, is be the expert. So be the expert in the field that you want to be the expert in. And how do you do that? Well, so there's a lot of ways that you do that. One is how your marketing looks. The other is build some authority in that area.
Yeah. Well, another example is we have two friends. One of them, his specialty is in showing people how to basically position their business to be sold and sell their business, and how to position the finances to do that effectively and in the right tax situation and so forth. Another one whose specialty is people who just sold their business and teaching them how to hold on to the money and not spend it on a new Lamborghini and trophy bride and one thing or another, right? But that's a targetable audience. It's a business owner at a certain revenue level, at a certain age level, that can be positioned to sell, and then getting to those people to manage their assets when they. And by the way, the second one is it's people who just sold a business at 20 million and up. So his average assets under management that he's inheriting at the point of sale is Peter just did a deal that was 22 million. Well, that was the same deal. Guy sold his business, the check came in, and now it's new assets under management in one fell swoop. But it's figuring out how to target, and by the way, both of them are, no matter what else they do, one's the specialist in showing you how to position and sell your business and deal with the financial impact. The other one is a specialist in dealing with the financial windfall that you came up with and how to position yourself to be set for life with it.
Yeah, and what this does is it gives you a this expands your business.
Yeah.
So don't think of this when you specialize. This does narrow the type of client that you're going to work with, but it can expand your business because now when you target your marketing, you'll have more people pay attention to you. Again, the idea is if I know you're the go-to guy for divorced women age 45 to 55, recently divorced women age 45 to 55 that are trying to figure out how to rebuild their retirement plan, I'm going to pay attention to that marketing now if I'm in that group. Or dentists in this example.
Or that you have 100 dentists that you're working
exactly. With. Exactly. We're using that example. So there's lots of different groups that you could potentially be targeting, but when they know that you're the specialist in that group, and you could be a specialist in multiple groups. So if you want to keep expanding your business, you can be specialist in more than one group. In the example of doctors and chiropractors, that person was a specialist in two different groups. The marketing was different. The marketing was targeted to those two different groups. The actual work was the same. The work that they did in the workshop was the same, and probably the work that they did per client was the same. But the focus was very specialized so that those people would respond because they felt like that you were one of them, or at least you were paying attention to their group.
Yeah.
So maybe we should talk about how to be an expert in those areas and list some ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another subtopic of this is just in the be different, right? And it's not about credentials, although that's the base level, right? Is the base level is they expect you to be competent, and they expect you to be well-educated, and they expect you to be knowledgeable. And what so many people try to do is they try to market their credentials rather than market their expertise in,
right.
in a given way, or their uniqueness in a different way, and that's a mistake. And again, it's like the other businesses we've dealt with is, you know, nobody knows, nobody cares.
Right. Right?
You know, if I went to the average person on the street and said, what's a CHCP, CFP, you know, what's a Series 7, what's it?
They don't know. They don't know any difference, and they wouldn't know what the better qualifications were or the lesser qualifications were, as long as they can take care of whatever they need to take care of.
And that's true whether they're a minimum wage worker at Taco Bell, or whether they're a CFO at a major company for their personal.
Well, and I think everybody listening, you know, or at least most people don't do research into the doctors that they.
Yeah.
I had carpal tunnel surgery, and I assumed the doctor was. Mm-hmm. I probably should have done some more research on which doctor I had to pick, but they assigned me the doctor they all work fine.
Okay,
it's pretty good. That was a couple months ago. That's why it's in my mind.
Yeah.
But you know, it was the one that my orthopedic surgeon recommended for my carpal tunnel surgery, so I just went with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He may have just known him from the golf course, for all I know. Yeah. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, probably should have done a little more research, or could have done a little more research, but that was kind of how it worked. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be just that, especially in this field, because that's not how you get some business that way, but you won't get enough.
Yeah. You know, the other aspect of this, and this is where people cringe a little bit when I say it, but I think anyone that you remember that you find interesting is idiosyncratic. They're unique,
mm-hmm.
right? Is, and oftentimes, especially, you know, with wealth managers, financial planners, it's almost like you're trying not to be. You know, you want to be looking conservative and dress conservative and everything, and that's
fine.
Don't
piss anybody off.
Yeah. Don't be controversial. And on the controversial part is, you got to figure out who your avatar, who your ideal prospect is, and then if you're going to be controversial in anything, be controversial in ways that they're likely to agree with, that's likely to repel people who aren't in that category.
Right? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be working with a group that tends to be more liberal, it might be okay to then be talking about those kind of subjects, or more conservative talking about those kind of subjects. That'd be perfectly okay. And yeah, I'm not telling you to be, you know, a jerk to people, or, you know, but it's okay to be controversial and have opinions about things, but be thinking about the group that you're working with.
Well, I'll give you an example. Is, you know, we've got, and again, I'll get myself in trouble, but
it's okay to get in trouble. I guess we're going to be controversial some in our talks now.
We're self-employed, so
yeah, exactly.
I've gone through, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 LinkedIn profiles of financial advisors. And, you know, one thing that's common now in LinkedIn is let you do the background. And so a whole bunch of them have the rainbow thing with the Black Lives Matter.
Right.
List, right? Well, if I'm targeting somebody in, you know, let's say I'm targeting San Francisco and I'm targeting professors, you know, at Berkeley. Well, great.
Perfect. Yeah,
absolutely,
that's exactly
perfect,
right. Yeah.
Right? However, you know, I'm from Tulsa. If I'm in Tulsa and I'm targeting 55-year-old dentist, that's not going to help you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And what I want to do is I want to choose that stuff based upon what is going to, you know, and in Tulsa, I would have wanted to be, you know, in the congregation of the, you know, of the Baptist, First Baptist Church, and I would have wanted to have beliefs and
that's not saying you should not be according to your values or live according to your values. Nobody's saying that. Don't join the church because if you're a different religion, don't join the other religion because it's going to get you more business.
Well, I mean, you know how my mouth is. You know, if I went and targeted the professors at Berkeley, they would all be ready to, you know, hang me up on burn me at the stake for anything, right?
Yeah.
So.
But be consistent, yeah. but also don't be afraid. Don't be fearful of being controversial and saying what you think. That's going to make you happier anyway.
Or better yet, figure out where you stand and go find an audience that's going to be compatible, right?
Exactly.
So that's the way you're congruent.
Absolutely.
Right? And again, I was using that as an example for a client the other day as I was pulling up several profiles that looked like this. But I also pulled up some that said they were targeting people that were incompatible with what they were doing. I sent you that one about
Right.
Is if you're going into the wrong person at the wrong time and what you are is incompatible with what they are, and I'm not talking about your black, white, red, whatever, but what your underlying value system is out of sync with what theirs are likely to be, then you're not picking people that's going to be a joy to your spirit. You're not picking people who you're surrounding yourself with that think more or less the way you do. You're not surrounding yourself with people that you're going to do the best service for. Right? And by the way, if you go through your current client base and there's people that you hate, well, they should be gone.
Right.
And doing it ethically, go find somebody that they will sync with well. Hmm. Go find somebody that they will sync with well. And, you know, the first thing we do is we create enough of a pipeline for people that they don't have to tolerate people that are different. There was that high-profile LPL deal. An advisor got fired out of LPL. And because she had made a statement on a Skype call, I think. And you and I talked about that. We looked at it pretty thoroughly. But my reaction after it was all said and done was, if that individual advisor felt like she had clients that were going to be offended by somebody who was a different color than they were or whatever it might be, she might have wanted to get better clients, right? Might have wanted to get different clients. And It was symbolic of somebody who wasn't particularly good at targeting a client base that she was going to feel comfortable with. You know, my other business, I fired a bunch of clients with problems like that, right? So you've got to target and be consistent with who you are and go find an audience that you're going to click with. And the biggest mistake is not looking for an audience that you're going to click with. And, you know, we had the conversation yesterday. You know, several advisors whose closing ratio wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking with people who, you know, they didn't speak the same language. They weren't even in the same universe, right? So you want to go, that's part of being idiosyncratic, of being controversial, of finding a niche, is find people you'll be able to speak their language.
Yeah, again, we're not telling anybody if you somehow want to be with, like you said, marketing in Tulsa and most people in Tulsa are part of the Baptist Church, but you're not Baptist. You know, we're not telling you have to go join
the
church.
Convert. Don't convert.
We're not telling you have to do something like that. But it's okay to be controversial. It's okay to be yourself and be thinking about that when you pick the avatar, or the persona, or the demographics that you're going to work with. Because the demographics you're going to work with should be a group of people that you like working with. Yeah. And, you know, for most of you guys that we talk to, it's so common. Well, who do you want to work with? Well, I want to work with 55 and up, people that are going to retire that have a lot of money. It's a pretty broad group, you know. I mean, it's okay, sure, you know.
Is it widows? Is it single women? Is it married couples? Is it divorcees? Is it a professional background? Is it managerial background? Are they dentists who want to
is
get out from behind
ex-military people? Is it, exactly. Right. I mean, there's if we can narrow that down and then figure out what those people like, what those people don't like, what those people, and then the other thing about being idiosyncratic that we want to get to too, it's before we're out of time, is what we talked about in another session about, you know, maybe you're a fan of Star Trek, or maybe you're in the Porsche Club, or maybe you're,
you know, a great example. Remember Jerry Spence? Very high.
Oh yeah, yeah, the guy with he wore
the suede jacket. And
looked like
the
cowboy jacket ruffles and stuff. Yeah, yeah. It really very not just high profile, but very very highly paid. And one of the best lawyers ever, wrote a bunch of books. Really interesting guy. Just was himself, and that wasn't about any kind of club or anything he belonged to, but it made him interesting.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be interesting. You know, I might not wear flip flops and no shirt and shorts to your meetings with people. Or maybe you would. It would depend. It would depend on if you're in Malibu Beach.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
I mean, it depends on what you're going to do. So it's got to match.
Yeah, I wouldn't
it's
if I was match. In Martha's Vineyard.
I would in Martha's Vineyard. I probably wouldn't in Arizona where I'm from. Yeah. It's probably not the right group. Yeah. But, you know, or I also wouldn't do that if on your website it showed you one way and then it showed you another way. But you've got to make sure that being yourself also isn't... We're also not saying if you want to just have tattoos all over your face and you just want to be the way you want to be and screw everybody else, that's not it either. What you want to do is figure out who you want to work
there's
with.
There's an audience for that.
There's an audience, there's for, an that. Audience for that. Understand who you're going to work with then. Yeah. If you're going to work with people that are, you know, live on Venice Beach, then that might work for you. But you got to make sure these things match. And then we build out your marketing around that. Again, not the JCPenney suit in a desk with a bookcase behind you.
Like everybody
else. And you talk in a monotone and you say the same things that everybody has and say, well, you know, you ought to save money and put money in an index fund and whatever. I mean, that's pretty exciting. I mean, they can read that off of a...
do a Google search.
Yeah, exactly. They can see that in the newspaper and do it themselves. Why should they use you?
Yeah. Two examples, right, is, you know, of the hundreds, if not thousands, of websites we've looked at, you know, the last few months. One of the ones we liked the best, or a couple of them. One was the guy's University of Texas Longhorn guy, right?
Right.
And he serves University of Texas alumni. And by the way, there's a ton of
them. Yeah, there's a lot of them. And a lot of them have money.
Yeah. But the website is, you know, I'm from Oklahoma, I don't, but, you know.
Yeah, the Longhorn symbol, whatever that is. It looks like
that,
that's just like this. Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking,
no, I don't know what it is. Anyway,
whatever it is. But the website had, you know, all the Longhorn stuff, that the color scheme was right, everything else. And he may have had several websites, but the one I looked at was for alumni of University of Texas, right? Another one, the guy's into fly fishing. And so the banner is him fly fishing, and there's a fly fishing blog as well as something else. Yeah. And by the way, there's just a ton of those guys if you're in Montana or Wyoming or, you know, Colorado or wherever that are into fly fishing, right? But all of a sudden it makes him unique. And in the case of fly fishing, it doesn't mean all of his clients are going to be into fly fishing, but it makes him unique. And if they are, oh my God, there's an immediate affinity. Right, there's something more beyond just, you know, solve my retirement. The University of Texas thing, obviously, is, you know, immediately. I mean, they can, you know, if anyone has, he should have. I would have him have the welcome package with the jersey and the, all the kitschy stuff with his logo on it at the same time, right?
Yeah, and there's a difference between like in the fly fishing case. I'm probably not going after specifically fly fishing. I might just be having that. Make Bill or in the Jerry Spence example where he just has an idiosyncratic look.
Right.
That's just making me have personality.
Yeah.
In the case of the Texas Longhorn situation, I can definitely go after alumni and people that graduate with medical degrees. They have a big medical program there. I can go after lawyers, people that have graduated, you know, 20 years ago. I can target that particular audience. So you've got to understand the differences between those things, but both of them work. And again, you're just different. allow yourself to be different and develop your personality in these kind of cases.
Well, and have a backstory. I mean, that's a, you know, I think we're all familiar with now Marvel and DC and an awful lot of these movies, you know, Batman Begins,
sure,
and the Spider-Man movie. I mean, it's about their origin story. But the more of an origin story you create for yourself, and the more of a backstory you create for yourself, and if you think of iconic characters, think about James Bond. You know, James Bond is associated with Omega,
right?
And/or Rolex, Submariner. That was
Aston Martin.
Yeah, Aston Martin. And you can go through different characters, and what's a consistent theme with them? What's something that's unique about them? You know, I like Neil Peart. Who sadly passed away recently, but it was the motorcycling thing, right? I read all of his books, and he was you know, they would do a tour, and he would motorcycle from, you know, place to place, and he wrote all these travel books. But he also had like this, you know, car collection, a bunch of a silver Aston Martin and a silver Corvette and a silver something else, you know, the Silver Surfers. But it was just these unique little things that you gravitate to that make them stand out as a personality as opposed to being like everybody else, right?
Yeah, so one of the messages here, one is before we wrap up today, be an expert. So you want to be an expert and be specialized in certain areas. Don't just try to be everything to everybody, because that means you're nothing to nobody.
Well, and it could be specialized in a, you know, a specific financial planning area.
Could be, for sure. That would be, we have a certified divorce planners, or how's the whole designation go? It's one of those.
It's alphabet soup, but it all runs together.
Yeah.
But it could also mean that you're the person for plastic surgeons, or you're the person for Microsoft executives, or you're the person for, you want to pick a big enough niche that's worth messing with, right? It was like we put together the person for martial arts schools, right?
Right.
So with the unique needs, you know, the argument is, you know, the unique needs and situations, and in their case, they're never going to sell their business. They're never going to have a windfall there. So, you know, they've got to, you know, create wealth from their income stream.
Sure.
But you want to pick a group which was the most unlikely one, right? It created a lot of business. But you want to create a group of people that you're going to be the expert in what they are, right? Or you have such affinity for them, University of Texas, that you're like one of them, and they feel comfortable because they're in your club and they're in the club already, and they want to affiliate with you.
So there's specialization expertise and specialization affinity.
Yeah. And being opinionated. Assuming that you've chosen your avatar client to be congruent with you, and there is having things that are unique and memorable, right? Having things about you that are different from everybody else is, you know, and it could be, you know, if you're into classic Corvettes, well, I mean, don't have that just be your hidden hobby. Put them on your website. You know, have the club, market the Corvette club.
Be at the Corvette shows.
Yeah.
Be somebody at it, and not just to go to the Corvette shows and try to walk up to people. Hey, I'm a financial planner, whatever. Be actually active in the events, and you can have events at the events where you can talk to them about what you really do.
Yeah.
And that's what we help you with, is how to turn these into real productive things. Not just make them something about you, but turn these into real productive events. But that's a different.
Well, and if you're doing meetings by Zoom, think of what your background is. Mm-hmm. Our Star Wars guy. First thing I said is, well, move your video meeting room into the room with all your Star Wars crap, right? And have that be like everything they see is the Star Wars thing, you know, and. You know, you'll be unique. You know, you'll have. And by the way, there's a lot of Star Wars fans, and some of them are going to immediately affiliate with you because of that. Otherwise, you're just unique. You know,
right.
You have this expertise, but also you're into this. And
Well, especially really in the today's day and age, yeah, with Zoom, everybody's background's the same, everything's the same. So you want to have something that makes a difference.
Especially they're using the stupid virtual backgrounds with no green screen, and then
their hands disappear.
And it looks fake. And so you're trying to pitch somebody on how trustworthy you are with the video impression is I have this completely fake thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even spring for like
a We've seen a lot of bad stuff in the backgrounds of people's meetings, believe us.
Well, they have the tropical island and the water little.
Well, I'm saying not on their virtual backgrounds. We've seen a lot of scary things in people's backgrounds. We've seen enough. People in the last few months.
Yeah, or their office. But on that note, is just as a reminder, pick a very specific group of people you're going to target, and preferably one where you can be the only or a very small number of people who specialize in that group of people. And look at what your existing hobbies, interests, connections, ties are, and be the person that wears that on their sleeve. It doesn't matter really how nerdy it is. If you're into model trains, great. If you're into Star Wars, great. If you're a Trekkie, great. Whatever it might be. But wear that on your sleeve, right? And then be thinking about things that are Jerry Spence-ish, What's unique about the way you dress? What's unique about what you wear? What's unique about what you drive? What's unique about where you live? Like I live at the top of the mountain at 8,000 foot elevation. We use that all the time, Pictures of the mountains, and I'm sitting up in the mountains.
And just sit outside and have the background there.
Here's the herd of elk in the background. But whatever it is, it almost doesn't matter what it is, use it to your advantage. And use it for people to think of you, remember you, and be a unique person that they're going to have a conversation about.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. On that note, we should call it a day.
Yeah. Make sure you follow that idea, and we'll see you at the next thing that we work with you on.
Yeah. Thank you, Fudge.